We're in the middle of a series called Foolproof, and really looking at some wisdom that we can get from Scripture that will teach us how to live a foolproof life, that will teach us to live in such a way where we're not making these huge mistakes, where we're not, you know, getting down the road this far and going, what am I doing? Why am I doing those things? So if we can learn this stuff in the beginning, if we can learn from Scripture and learn from what's going on as we read through the book of Proverbs, we can see that it's going to be all right. Like, we can choose wisely. We can choose right. So Proverbs was mainly written by King Solomon. King Solomon was the wisest man ever, and he prayed for wisdom, and he got it. You know, and so now he is telling us how to live wisely, how to live a foolproof life. And so we can listen, right? We can like lean in a little bit and listen as he is writing these kind of really to his son to help him know how to live and how to choose right as he goes through life. We can kind of listen in and really take advantage and realize that he's not just speaking to King David back then. He's speaking to us even right now. So I don't think I'm alone when I say that there are certain impulses that I just can't refuse. Like, something random will happen during my day, and I just kind of have to go along with it. I just kind of have to partake, you know? Like, some of them are pretty innocuous. They're not really that big of a deal, but there's still these impulses that happen when we don't even realize it, and it's almost like we can't help but partake and be part of that. So, like, for me, like, as they're watching TV during the summer, you know, like, there's nothing on TV during the summer, like, nothing on TV during the summer. You just try to find things that mildly might entertain you, you know? And, like, for me, it's usually, like, Reds baseball, you know, that's normally entertaining. This year, they're horrible, so it's not near as entertaining right now. So, I will be watching Reds baseball even, and then I'll just start flipping through channels. You know what I'm talking about. You're just laying there. You're mindlessly going channel up, channel up, channel up, you know. Or you go to the guide, and this is what I do normally, is page up, you know, so I can see like 10 choices at a time. And you're just going through, and then, you know, sometimes there is that one TV show or there is that one movie that you see, and you just like, you just can't help it. You just click on it, you know. And then next thing you know, 2 hours later, you've watched all of Shawshank Redemption. You know, I've seen that movie hundreds of times, you know, but it's just like something I just like, oh, and I'm kind of surprised, you know, at the end. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, that's like one of those movies. Another one of those shows for me, there's a couple of them that happened, especially during the summer and the, you know, the dog days of no TV, is American Pickers. Anybody watch American Pickers? I love American Pickers, you know, and they're going to these places. Like, I was watching one last night because the Reds game got boring, and so I was watching one, and they had these metal toys that looked awful and looked like something I'd throw in the trash, and then they say that he says, I'll offer you $150 for this one, and I'm like, what? Like, where were all my toys? Where's all that stuff that I used to have when I was a kid? And, you know, or my grandparents had, and I'm like, I'm not playing with that. That's not fun. Now it's worth like $500. You know, I love American Pickers, and I love watching that. Another one is Shark Tank, right? I mean, like, I love watching Shark Tank. I like, somewhere in my mind, I'm like, I think I could be on there, but I know I really can't. So, but that's one of the things I stop at. I have impulses in my life. You know, like, Reagan loves to bake, right? So she bakes cookies all the time, and she bakes brownies, and she made brownies the other day, and you're walking through, and Melinda and I have been like kind of like watching calories and stuff. Like, when I tore my Achilles, I gained like 15 pounds, and so like I'm down 12 of those 15, so I'm doing actually pretty good. But so Reagan made brownies, and I had such a hard time walking by those brownies. Are anybody with me when it comes to stuff like that? Especially if it's the corner piece. Yes, all right. I love that. Like Melinda and I are perfect for each other because she likes the middle gooey part and I like the outside part. It's the same with pizza. I like the crust part and she likes the inside, you know, of that kind of stuff. But when I walk by that corner piece, I'm like, I can't help it, but then I put in my calories, and that one little piece was 300 calories. I'm like, what? But I have these impulses, right? So one cropped up the other day. I came downstairs and Reagan and Corbin were playing Monopoly, and you might think it's Monopoly because who doesn't love a really good good game of world domination? And so they were playing that, and Reagan also likes to listen to music while she's, you know, doing things, baking and stuff like that. So she had on a CD of mine, and it was one of those impulse songs that you just can't help and you just start singing along to. And for me, that one song is Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses. Right? I mean, like, she get a test. I get out my falsetto voice. I'm like, Sweet Child of Mine. Ooh, yeah. Right? And it's not just the words that I know, but it's like the guitar. And I'm like, I'm singing those, you know? And I'm like, oh, it's just, you know. You guys know what I'm talking about? I love that song, right? It's just like this impulse. It just starts coming out of me, you know? One time we were driving in downtown Chicago, and me and some friends, and we're in this big old van and this hoopty van and everything, and we're just driving down, and the windows are down, and that song comes on, and I'm just wailing at the top of my lungs with all of us in the van, and then someone's videotaping. It's embarrassing, but it's just this impulse, right? It just happens, right? So I'd love to know what your impulses are. In fact, I would rather you just tell somebody. So turn to somebody right now and, like, what is your impulse? That thing that you do involuntarily. You don't even know it, but it just happens. Right? So take about a minute and a half and talk to someone. Someone around you, talk to them about it. I heard some of them this morning, and someone was talking about how when they go, you know, they're in a store and they're walking by racks of clothes. Anybody just, like, feel them all as they walk by? You know, and then sometimes there's, like, these textures that you just can't help, right? Like, if you see, like, a fur coat, not a real one because we don't do that, like a fake fur coat, you know, you just kind of, like, got to pet it, you know? I don't know why. You just do. It's just like this impulse that happens. You know, I think probably for some of you, you might not have talked about this, but you might have the whole impulse buy thing. You know what I'm talking about? Like your late night commercial comes on and it says, if you buy in the next 4 minutes, we're going to throw in a whole nother set of knives because you need two complete sets of knives in your house. And you're like, what? That's such a great deal. $19.99? You know, you don't even hear the three payments of $19.99, whatever it is, you know. And the next thing you know, QVC is your best friend. Lori Greenlandart is like your best friend. And you're just buying things and all this stuff. Amazon happens that way. It's just the way it is. These impulse buys happen. You know, some of you might have issues with certain foods, you know. Or when I was growing up, every time I would walk into my grandparents' house, they would have that candy dish. I don't even know if candy dishes are a thing anymore. But they always have candy dish, and it was like this really hard candy that most of the time when you pick one piece up, there's another piece stuck to it, and you're like, score, you know? You know, maybe it's during Thanksgiving or during Halloween, and it's candy corn, you know? And you're like, I just got to have one, right? Just one, two handfuls, whatever that may be, because it's just like this impulse happens. Now, of course, this can get a whole lot worse. There are many things that we know we shouldn't do or we shouldn't have a part of our life, but we just can't help ourselves. It's like when you walk up to the group of people at work and they're talking about that coworker that walked in late and that scoop is just really hard to turn down. Next thing you know, you're full on gossip, right? What's crazy is about how what once was simple impulses become destructive habits. And then they can morph into all sorts of bad stuff, all sorts of negative things. They can morph even into disorders of all kinds, like eating disorders. Things like kleptomania, where you just can't help but take that little thing. Pyromania. Or I don't know if you've heard of this one before, but trichotillomania. Have you heard of that? But that's like the involuntarily pulling out your hair. And that's not what I suffer with, but I get it, right? I get it. You know, I have a relative of mine who, when she's nervous, she pulls out her eyebrows. You know, she doesn't even realize it. Don't even realize it. Actually, you know, you're coloring, she's coloring those things in, you know? It's just something that happens and as this impulse, and it can turn into all sorts of disorders. I think we can be honest with ourselves. Most of us, to some degree, or probably all of us, at some point, have issues with self-control. I'm pretty confident that when we start talking about self-control, we think to ourselves, I know I need that, but I'm getting a little squirmy in my chair. Because it's not something that we want to delve into. It's something that we wish we had, but it eludes so many of us. So self-control. Let's start with the definition. I think for the most part, we see self-control or understand it as the power to restrain and direct oneself. The power to say no in this situation, the power to, you know, restrain and direct to go this certain direction, whatever it may be. And I think that's pretty much right on, but I think if we leave that definition there, then self-control is accomplished by all kinds of people. And I think we think in our minds self-control is someone like this Buddhist monk who starves himself in order to show restraint. We think of a priest maybe that is committing to celibacy, restraining himself from that part of life. We can think of an athlete who is training day and night to be able to accomplish their goal, to be able to, you know, win that race, whatever it may be. They have self-control. All of these people would be described as people with self-control. They set their minds to something, and then they do everything that they can to accomplish whatever they set their minds to. But I don't think we can leave the definition there, because I think when we look through Scripture, when we look through the book of Proverbs, we see Solomon talking about something a little bit different than that. I think there's self-control as the world thinks of self-control, but I think there's something a little bit different when you're talking about someone who is a Christ follower. When you're talking about a Christian, I think this is what we get out of Proverbs here. Let me read a couple of those passages. Proverbs 16:32 says, "Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city." Proverbs 21:17, "He who loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and oil will never be rich." Proverbs 23:1-2, "When you sit to dine with a ruler, note well what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you're given into gluttony." Proverbs 25:28, "A man with self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." So based on that, based on what we see in Proverbs, I think for a Christian, you could say self-control is choosing the most important over the urgent. Having this value system where you choose the most important thing over the thing that you feel like needs to be done right now. I think for a Christian, you could see self-control as choosing godly principles over feelings, over what we feel like. That we know what Scripture is telling us, and despite how we feel, or despite, you know, what we want to do, we follow what God says to do. I think for a Christian, you could see self-control as choosing what is best for your soul over what is accepted or what is good enough in our world. Perhaps our definition that we read before, the power to restrain and direct oneself, is incomplete, because maybe as a Christian, our definition should be a little bit more like this: the power to restrain and direct oneself according to the will of God and for His glory. So adding that just makes it slightly different, right? To understand this all better, I want to look at that last one that we read. Proverbs 25:28 says, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." If you're going to read through the Old Testament, you will see this pop up all the time. It's full of stories about armies attacking strong cities. And in most cases, the city has this wall around it. It is like the first line of defense. And as an army is attacking the city, they have to get through the wall first. That wall is set up to deter the army, maybe one, from even attacking in the first place, and two, maybe to hold them off for a period of time where you strengthen your army inside, or maybe even hold them off altogether. Right, you see that in the Old Testament. There were cities with walls built around them. That's why when you read the book of Nehemiah, why it was so important to Nehemiah to build the city wall back up. Because it was saying that we as a city have no line of defense. You can come in and do whatever you want, and we can't do anything about it. Now, in stark contrast, you can read in Joshua 6, about the Battle of Jericho, that it only took 7 days for the wall to fall down, and as immediately after the wall came down, the city was taken over. Immediately after that line of defense came down, the city fell flat. Without walls, there was nothing keeping the attacking army from just walking in and doing and taking whatever they wanted. I think this is a powerful word picture because it brings to mind this hostile force trying to steal something of value. This hostile force, in this case, when we're talking about self-control, the hostile force is our natural desires. We naturally want to be lazy and not work towards what really matters. We would rather it just happen, right? We love the get-rich-quick schemes because we don't have to work towards it. Our natural tendency is to eat whatever tastes good and looks good rather than what is best for us, best for our bodies. Our tendency is to spend money on the things that we want rather than having those priorities in place where we spend first on the things that we need or the things that the Bible tells us to spend money on. Like, what's the most important, right? This natural tendency, unless harnessed by self-control, will overwhelm us. Our natural tendency will take us over if we can't harness that. And the way we do that is with self-control. If we don't have that, then that tendency will steal from us. Will steal from us what's really important. So I think you could say that a man or woman who lacks self-control is like a city with no effective defense. They're not able to resist those things that can destroy their lives and destroy the lives of others. So lacking self-control is like impulse on steroids, right? It's not the little things. It's the things that become really big and that destroy us and destroy the people around us. Unfortunately, many of us, and I think all of us at some point, have had those walls broken down. Instead of governing our desires, instead of governing our appetites, we give into our binge nature, where we binge on food, where we binge on sleep, on work, where we binge on TV and Netflix, where we binge on sports, on spending, and even sex. We give into that binge nature if we don't have those restraints, if we don't have the harness of self-control. Solomon reminds us the importance of keeping a watch. Right, right. Keeping an eye on it. Keeping an eye on your heart. In chapter 4, verse 23, he says, above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. Protect your heart. Because that's the wellspring of life. That is where you really experience life. So guard your heart. So I think it would be wise for us, as we look for this foolproof life, to take a little inventory. Right? Take a little self-control inventory to decide whether or not we have self-control issues, especially in any of these topics that Solomon brings out in Proverbs. Let's go through a few of those. First one we talked about a couple weeks ago is our attitude. And people with self-control can master their moods. People with self-control can master their moods. They choose their mood. They choose how they're going to react and respond. And they're going to choose their mood rather than allowing the circumstance choose their mood for them. It's so easy to allow what's outside affect what's on inside. And then our attitude comes out. The truth is that most of what gets done in this world is accomplished by people who do the right thing even though they don't feel like it. They choose their mood. Another one would be speech. We talked about this last week. People with self-control watch their words. In order to master your speech, you have to kick your mind in gear before opening your mouth. Right? Rather than just respond with the first word that comes to your mind, think it through. Right? What is me saying that? How are they going to take that? How are they going to perceive what I'm about to say? If you can't master this in your marriage, things are going to be difficult. If you can't quickly have this filter of, that's not the best thing for me to say. Because as soon as it's out, it can't come back in. It's the whole toothpaste that will never go back into the tube. Right? Once it's out, it's out. And it will either bring life or it will bring death. Your words are not neutral. They bring life or they bring death. Another one is our actions. People with self-control restrain their reactions. How much can you take before you lose your cool? You want to test that? Go on a long trip, right? With kids. That'll test it completely, you know? When someone cuts you off, what do you do? How much can you take before you lose your cool? This might be one of the hardest ones for us. And we have to be fierce about that mental timeout, that pause, that count to 10, whatever it's going to take to be able to choose how you react. Next one is time. People with self-control stick to their schedules. People with self-control have a schedule because the fact is, if you don't determine how you're going to spend your time, others will do it for you. If you don't have a schedule, if you don't schedule things in that are really important, then those things will never happen. So if you're married, if you don't schedule in time alone with your spouse, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it because there's always something, there is always someone that wants to take your time. It's the one thing that we'll never feel like we have enough of, and so we'll try to steal other people's. Have a schedule. Stick to your schedule. Next, finances. People with self-control manage their money. They learn how to live on less than they make and invest the rest. They know how to spend their money. There's so much value in a budget. I do a lot of premarital counseling, and one of the things I always ask is, What's your budget? Do you have a budget? Do you know where your money is going to go? Because I think people have in mind that once they get married, they're going to have all sorts of money because they have these two incomes, whatever it may be. If you don't have a budget, the money goes away. And you're like, what? I didn't know I did that. I didn't know I spent money on that. Have a budget. Now, if you ever tell me, I just know how much is in my bank account, I'm like, whatever. Write it down then, right? Write it down, because something happens. Next thing you know, you're broke, right? People with self-control manage their money well. And then finally, your body. People with self-control maintain their health. Their body doesn't become a hindrance to them. It doesn't become a hindrance to accomplishing whatever God wants them to accomplish. It doesn't stop them from enjoying the achievements that they've been able to have. So what area do you need to develop self-control? In any of those areas, are any of those areas an issue for you? Is it your attitude? Does your attitude just pop out when you don't know that it's going to? Is it your speech, the words that you say and how you talk to people? Is it your actions? Do you react in such a way that people would never know that you're a Christ follower? Is it your time? Is it your time? Do you stick to your schedule? Do you even have one? Is it how you spend your money? Is it your health? What area do you need more self-control? Because we need to be honest. We need to lean into this. Because the disciplines that we establish today will determine our success for tomorrow. The things that we put in place today, the habits that we put in place today, will determine the success that we're going to have later. So we have to establish those habits. Right? If you're going to run a race, if you're going to run a marathon, you don't decide to show up the day of. You prepare, right? And you start small, and then you start building up. You start getting the habits in place in order for you to be able to finish what you want to accomplish. And maybe, just maybe, that's the key to the whole thing. We need to understand that in order to gain a handle on this whole self-control thing, we need to have our mind made up before the temptation is in front of us. See, self-control is not something that we can just pull out of our pocket when the temptation happens. It's something that we have to have in place beforehand. It's something that we, you know, gain, and then when the temptation comes, when that awesome knife set that never goes dull comes on TV, we know how we're going to react to that. We know how we're going to respond to that. When someone tells you something that you know is not true, you know how to respond rather than to react. When those brownies are on there, even the corner piece, you can say no because you've already established that self-control. You know how it's going to play out. So I can speak for me. I never seem to have enough self-control. There's always something that pulls me in. It's hard for me to say no to certain things, to certain people, and so forth. And I don't know you, but you know you. You know you. You know your biggest temptation. You know that area that seems to trip you up over and over again, that gets to you so quickly and so easily. So maybe we can understand together, maybe we can learn together, maybe we can start to realize that it takes more than just willpower for real, lasting self-control. It takes more than me just deciding I'm going to have it. Because it takes a power way greater than myself. Way greater than just me. I think this is where we can completely, you know, change our whole mindset. Because for far too long, we have looked at self-control as something that hurts. Right? Something that restrains us. Something that takes away from what we really want. I think if we can really believe what Paul says in Scripture, when he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, of love, and self-control. Think of those three things, right? That we can easily live our life full of fear. But what God gives us, when we say yes to Jesus, when the Holy Spirit it empowers our life, He gives us power, right? He gives us power to walk that next step, to face that circumstance, that difficulty. He gives us love as we deal with difficult people that are hard to love, that you can't love on your own, and no one should. But God's love through us changes everything. Power, love, and self-control. It's something that He gives us. It's not something that we work hard at. It's not something that we force ourselves into, that we beat our bodies into. Self-control is given to us. If we lack self-control, maybe we haven't asked for it. Maybe what God sees is us trying harder and harder and harder to say no, when really all we have to say is, help. Because He gives it to us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, He gives us that self-control. But yet we tend so easily to go to that natural tendency to fulfill our own desire instead of His. So we have this tendency to see self-control as constricting, but I think it's quite the opposite. I think self-control is actually freeing. Let me explain. How many people have ever been rock climbing? Rock climbing, anybody ever been rock climbing? So rock climbing is awesome, right? It's exhilarating, you know? It really is. And you know, I've done a little bit of rock climbing in my life. Of course, I've done the fake walls where the holds are always nice and all that kind of stuff, you know, and those are great. I love to watch my kids do that, and it's really cool that they can, you know, climb up there, and they're way stronger than me in a lot of ways. But, like, when you're on a real rock, it's, like, completely different. Right? It's like completely different. You know, you have to find the hold that's good and you know, you have to make sure that your foothold is good and all of those types of things. You know, but it is exhilarating and it's a totally, totally fun thing. Now, I don't know if anybody has ever heard of solo free climbing. It's pretty self-explanatory. Now, that's altogether something different. You know, solo free climbing is just straight up crazy. Right? It's like this picture right here. Like straight crazy, right? Who does that? Or this next one, I love this one, right? I wonder, in his mind, he was saying, cameraman, can you help me here for a second? You know, anyway. Or I found this video of somebody just, you know, straight up crazy. I think he's showing off. What do you think? Yep, he's showing off. Who thinks that? Well, if I turn upside down, then I'm going to be able to make it up the rock. See, that right there is straight crazy, right? I mean, he's got nothing, right? He's got nothing holding him, nothing holding him up. It's unbelievable. No ropes, no harness. He's free from all constraints. It's on the edge. It's just you and the rock. Here's the deal, though. It seems so freeing, right? To climb on your own with nothing holding you back. The only problem is that by definition, you're riding by yourself. You're riding solo. You're doing everything on your own. It's just you. And you might be free to jump and do some crazy stuff, but you're also free from the life-saving capacities that come with a rope and a harness. And this is the way I want you to think of self-control. I want you to think of it like the harness. Right? I mean, if you've ever been rock climbing and you put a harness on, it's horrible, right? Harnesses are horrible because they're uncomfortable, right? They pull in places you don't want them to pull. They look ridiculous. And a lot of times they hurt, right? When you get your full weight on that harness, you're like, that hurts. But here's the deal. It also gives you confidence. Gives you confidence, and ultimately, it saves your life. See, when we're harnessed by self-control, we make ourselves. We make ourselves ultimately free. We can do things that we normally couldn't do because we have the safety of that harness. When we are not harnessed by self-control, then what we do is we free ourselves from the people that care the most. We free ourselves from the friends that care enough to hold on to you when your grip is weakening. You free yourself, you know, when your legs are burning and when you feel your hold slipping. Ultimately, we free ourselves from the very thing that helps prevent us from falling. Because the fact is, those people, guys like that, people that do that whole solo free climbing, more than half of them fall to their death. It doesn't take much, right? It doesn't take much. So as much as it goes against our natural tendency, harnesses aren't that bad. They're not such a bad thing because on our own, in real life, in our own strength, we will fall on our faces every time. But with him, we're harnessed to the power of the Holy Spirit. With him, we are being held up, even in those times where you jump for that ledge and you don't make it, right? When you try for that hold and you're trying to hold on, and sometimes, let's be honest, we can't hold on anymore. But with him, we know we're going to be all right. We know we're going to be all right. Self-control isn't something that constrains us. It gives us the ability to risk big, to go all in for him, for the kingdom. And it gives us the freedom to do anything possible for his glory. And with him, we can stand up underneath anything that the world throws at us. Self-control. The habits that you form today will determine your success for tomorrow. What habits do you have? What habits do you have? What habits are you forming? What boundaries do you have in place? Who are the people you have given permission to speak truth into your life? Who do you trust enough? Who do you love enough to listen to them even though you know you're not going to like what they say? What habits are you forming today that is going to determine you being successful tomorrow? What boundaries are in place? Let's pray. Father, it amazes me that there's so much that we can do in this life. And Father, we can look at Scripture and you can tell us the things that we need to be doing. You can tell us how to structure and prioritize and value the things that we need to value. But Father, you know our natural tendency is to be selfish, self-seeking, to do anything that we want. But Lord, I ask right now that you give us self-control. That we don't just go one direction because it feels right, but we look at what is right. That God, that you put these boundaries in place in our lives, that we don't step over them, because when we do, it leads to death and destruction. Show us what to say yes to. Show us what to say no to. Show us the conversations to engage in, and show us the one to just walk away from. We know, left by our own power, we'll give in to anything that makes us feel a certain way. But God, with your power, we can do what you're asking us to do. Thank you for loving us enough that you harness what we can do in life. We love you, and in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.